produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to My Father's Teaching. My name is Terrence Burton, and we're going to get into the Word of God. But before we do, let's pray. Father, we yield ourselves right now to your precious Holy Spirit. Father, give us wisdom and understanding. Father, give us clarity to communicate your truth. Father, open the eyes of our understanding and cause us to see things that perhaps we couldn't quite see or we didn't see too clearly before. Father, we thank you for your word, for your wisdom, for the wealth of information that you're going to pour into us today. All to your glory, sir. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and thank God. We are going to pick back up sort of where we left off, or at least continuing with the previous lesson of praying for our enemies. And to do that, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 48, sort of as our introduction. And this is Jesus talking, and he says, "Ye have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so?" Verse 48 says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." When we first talked about this, one of the key points that we brought out was the fact that what the Father is looking for is more from us, basically, than what he would expect from the non-believer. God expects for us to love even when we're not being loved. You know, and one of the things that we look at with this is how the Father is consistent with his love. And we talked about how the Father does not love based on behavior. In fact, his love is detached from behavior. That's how he's able to love everybody. So if somebody curses him or whatever, God still loves that person. If a person is an atheist, meaning they don't believe in God, God loves that person. If that person is a criminal, going out there robbing people, shooting people, stealing and killing, God loves that person. Why? Because his love has nothing to do with their behavior. God loves because he is love. So the love that he has is not tied to you. And that's why you can trust that God will forever love you, because there is nothing that you can do that will put out his love, that will put out the fires of his love to where God says, "I can't love this person." Why? Because the essence of God is love. And so he loves because that's just simply who he is. And so what the Father is requiring of us as believers is to operate the same way, where just like God reigns, or he sends his reign on the good and on the bad, on the just and on the unjust, likewise, our love should extend to everybody. And one of the ways by which our love is extended to people is through prayer. See, it's easy to pray for people who do good by you, but it takes a whole nother level of character and heart if you're going to actually pray for somebody who has mistreated you. Now, I'm not saying that this is something that I would call an easy task, but God does not always require us to do the easy, but he does require us to do what we should do. And as we, one of the things we talked about last week was how that the reason God expects this from us, or the reason that he commands us to do this, is because he's trying to shape us into the image of Christ. In other words, God is looking at Jesus as our model. And so he's trying to shape us after that pattern. And in order for us to love like Jesus, which is without prejudice, then we have to love people regardless of what their behavior is. So just like God, we love simply because that's just what we do. We're made in the image and likeness of love. And so that's basically, in a nutshell, what we're looking at here. Now, just to kind of go a little bit further, we talked a little bit about Jeremiah, and we're going to go back there briefly to kind of open up some things to look at this a little bit closer. We were in Jeremiah chapter 29. We're going to start at verse 4. It says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." So to give you just a little bit of what's going on here, a little bit of clarity and insight as to what's going on here, here is Israel. They are taken into captivity from Jerusalem to Babylon. So here they are being taken from their home to another place to live. But the beautiful thing I love about it is that regardless of the situation they were in, God still had a word for them. And that's one of those things that we have to understand, is that you cannot face a situation that the Father does not have anything to say. So here is God talking through his prophet Jeremiah to Israel, who was taken away captive, who was carried away captive from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Verse 5, it says, "Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished." I'm going to give you in a nutshell what the Father is telling, having the prophet to communicate with the people. Make the best of your current situation. I understand that you are not wanting to be in this place, but I want you to have a mindset to make the best of this situation, and you turn where you are into home. Well, why would I say turn it into home? Because in verse 5, he said, build houses there, dwell in those houses, plant gardens. In other words, become able to sustain and take care of yourself in a place that you were forcibly driven to. In other words, he said, don't allow what happened to you be the end. Don't allow what happened to you keep you from progressing, from moving forward. Yes, these were enemies. Yes, they mistreated you. But you know what? And here's what we have to understand. In life, you're going to have enemies. In life, you're going to have people who don't like you. But we have to come to grips with that's life. So it's not necessarily solely about my enemy. It's not solely about what someone has done to me. But am I able to take what they did horrible to me and turn it into something that's good? So he said, build houses, dwell in them, plant gardens, and eat the fruit of them. In other words, begin to learn how to take and how to learn how to take care of yourself, even in this place that you didn't volunteer to come to. And notice at the bottom of verse 6, he says that they may bear sons and daughters. Well, I'll go ahead and take it from the top. Take you wives and beget sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands. In other words, you're going to not only plant gardens and build houses and all of that, but you're going to create your family in this place. You're going to build family. It says that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. In other words, okay, Babylon has brought you over. You're not going to let that be the end of your story. You're going to actually make Babylon a place that is worthy of living in. You're going to make Babylon a beautiful place. Why? Because what God is looking at is, he says, you're going to do all this stuff there so that you are not diminished. I know that you're in slavery. I know you were taken captive. But what I'm concerned about is that you do not allow the situation to diminish you. And see, oftentimes that's what happens to us, is that we will, for whatever reason, we will find ourselves in a place that we don't want to be. And instead of taking lemons and making lemonade, instead of turning it into something that is spectacular, we allow ourselves to become diminished. And God is saying, don't let it diminish you. I know you have been, and watch this. Now, the name Babylon means confusion. So they were taken captive and brought to confusion. And so what God is doing is he's trying to convert the confusion to clarity. He's trying to get them to change their environment. And see, what's happening is we tend to want to gripe about our environment instead of actually change the environment when it doesn't fit us. But watch this in verse 7. We're going to have to care about a place even if it was not necessarily your choice to be there. Well, what do I mean? I'm going to use the black man in America, for example. I understand that we didn't come here, or our ancestors didn't come here voluntarily. But what has to be done is this verse right here. He says, and seek the peace of the city. In other words, there has to be a seeking of peace. We got to care about the place that we've been brought to, even though we were not brought here willfully. Even though we were stolen and brought here, there has to be a love and a care. There has to be an appreciation that we have for the place where we were brought. But even more so, we also need to have an appreciation for what we can do, how we can impact this nation that we have been carried over to. Because that's ultimately what it's about. It's not about appreciating what was done, but it's about understanding that God has infused something in us that we can make this nation better than what it is. And that's the mindset that we need to come from. So he said, seek the peace of the city. In other words, look for and go after and pursue the peace of the people who took you captive. I know that's way out the box. And I know we talked about last week how that God does things that are sometimes unorthodox. And that's a very unorthodox move. God, I have been brought captive by these people. And then here it is. You're going to tell me to seek or to care about their peace. I don't care about their peace. That's the problem. Because the thing about it is this. We can become more effective if we begin to care about everybody as opposed to picking and choosing who we're going to care about. Now, I'm not saying everybody gets equal energy or equal time. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I am saying is that we do not allow what someone has done to us hinder us from wanting good for them. Why? Because we are like God. We care about their peace. We care about their well-being, irrespective of what they have done. So he said, seek the peace of the city, whither I have caused you to be carried away captives. And he says, and pray unto the Lord for it. In other words, he's saying that is a part of you seeking the peace of that city, is that I want you to be praying for this city. And then he closes it out saying, for in the peace thereof, shall you have peace. So in other words, God is saying your intercession as you're praying for the people who took you captive, you will find peace in praying for them. In other words, your prayers for peace will boomerang. You know how a boomerang works? You throw the boomerang and then it spins and then it circles back to you. Well, that's the same thing that the Father is saying here, is that as you pray for the peace of the ones who took you captive, then God says you get peace. In other words, ultimately, you could actually see in this that God was using a bad thing called captivity, which is bad. God was using that as a way to actually give the Babylonians and Israel peace. If Israel would step in and become intercessors and make the city better by them being there. I mean, this is just really awesome. And again, I'm not saying that this is necessarily something that's easy. And I'm going to share this with you all. Because years ago, one of the things that the Lord showed me, and it was really to shift my paradigm when it comes to being mistreated by people. And the way he had me to look at it was that when somebody mistreats you, look at that as a prayer request. Now, granted, it was not always easy, but it did help me to look at things from a different perspective. And I remember I was working at a job, and there was this lady there who was very aggravating. I'll just kind of say it like that. She was kind of like a rock in my shoe, a thorn in my flesh. I'm going to say it that way. And I remember one time I said, because in my spirit, I perceived that she was going to get a promotion above me. And I said to myself, the day she gets promoted over me is the day I quit. And sure enough, one day came where she became promoted to team leader. So now I'm sitting up with somebody who started trouble with me regularly, who is now over me in authority at my job. So anyway, I was hot. And I get that. That's our natural human emotions. You know, I was hot. I was very upset about it. I grabbed all my things, put them in a box, and went home mad. Maybe not all my things, but most of my things, I know. It's been a while ago. But anyway, I grabbed my things, went home mad. I walk in the door, I'm just fussing, mad. And the Lord called me into prayer. And so I went in to pray. And while I was praying, the Lord said, I want you to give her a gift celebrating her promotion. I kind of froze for a second. Then I said, yes, sir. So the following day, I showed up with a gift for this young lady celebrating her promotion. Now, let me say this. I didn't go in and say, the Lord told me to get you something. That was not the approach. I presented the gift to her. I said, I want to give you this, celebrating your promotion to your new position. Well, that broke her. And it was not long after that, that she was having some personal problems in her family. And she came to me for advice as she was going through these things. And so what I began to see from that was how God used me giving her a gift to break through that barrier between she and I, because God knew she needed me, but she kept making me mad. And see, here's what I want you to understand. The devil will actually push people's buttons to make you mad, so that you won't stand in the gap for that person and to keep you two separated, because the devil knows that there is something in you that they need. And so he has them to aggravate you so you won't give it to them. And so that's why we have to make sure that we step beyond our flesh and realize that we're not going to allow the enemy to stop anything that God is wanting to do. You know, because the reality of it is that any one of us could be the so-called bad guy. Any one of us could be the one in our flesh mistreating people. But we have to really catch ourselves and say, wait a minute. I know this person is aggravating me. But what if there is something that they need from me? But because I allow myself to get in the flesh, I'm not going to let them have what God deposited in me for them. I know we don't think like that because we have a tendency to think only in the moment that we're in, that they're irritating me. They're the rock in my shoe. They're the sand in my shoe. They're the thorn in my flesh. They're bothering me because we're so selfish that we don't understand really the game that's being played. And that God may send somebody to you for you to be a blessing to who starts off irritating you. I know that's quite the thought, considering we're in a day where we think that we're supposed to not be bothered by anything. But that's the reality. God can send somebody. I know we want to think the devil sent somebody because they bothered me. Not necessarily. God may send somebody to you who irritates you. See, irritating you is not evidence that it was not God that sent them. We need to become more mature than that. Yes, God can send somebody to you who also irritates you. Why? Because there is something that you both need to get from the interaction. I understand that's tight, and I understand that that's one of those things that we really have problems really hearing, but that's the truth. And that's one of those truths that we really don't want to hear. But I believe that the Father is calling us to a higher level of living, which involves a higher level of praying, where we go beyond our four walls of prayer, where I'm not just praying for the people who love me and who treat me right, but that I'm also praying for the well-being of those who irritate me, who bother me. All it is the enemy is actually trying to keep me from being a blessing to them by having them to irritate me. And when you look at it from that perspective, it gives you more patience with people. It helps you to better understand what's really going on, as opposed to simply thinking, well, because they irritate me, then I don't want to have anything to do with them. And I'm not saying that you let everybody close to you. That's not what I'm saying. But because a person does not have to be close to you for you to pray. I pray for people in other countries. They're not close to me. I pray for my enemies. My enemies don't live in a house with me. And so the point of this lesson is that we have to become consistent when it comes to praying, that we pray without prejudice. In fact, that was one of the points that we talked about in our first lesson on prayer, was that we are called to be a house of prayer for all nations, meaning that we pray without prejudice. So I don't need you to be a certain way to earn my prayer, because my prayers are not earned. And so that's the mindset that we need to function from. And we will know that we're operating from God's heart when we're praying like that. Why? Because that's how God is. God's not prejudiced. So since God's not prejudiced and I'm made in the similitude of God, then how can I be? So I would have to deviate from how God created me to be in order for me to be prejudiced. So it doesn't matter what you do. It does not stop me from praying for you. It does not stop me from loving you, because my prayers and my love cannot be earned. And I'm going to say this to close it out. And this is just some food for thought for this lesson. If you refuse to pray for your enemies, you don't love people. You love some people. You want people to earn your love. If your love can be earned, then it's not eternal. If your prayers can be earned, they're not real prayers. And I'm going to close with that. Father, we thank you for the words that you have spoken. Father, we thank you for having opened our eyes and helped us to see things a little bit clearer. Father, we thank you that you have motivated us. You have not only motivated us, but you have inspired us to take a different kind of look at our enemies so that we will actually hold them in our hearts in a different way, and that we will pray consistently that it doesn't matter if somebody's good or bad, we will pray. It doesn't matter if they're just or unjust, we pray. And Father, we thank you that you are glorified and we appreciate you. We thank you so very much for your word being revealed and manifest in our hearts. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. God bless you.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.